This is the CC Radio Podcast.
Welcome to episode 221 of the Countdown Movie and TV Reviews Podcast. It's a mother of a show today, folks.
My name is Wayne.
Brilliant as always. My name is Paul. Welcome to the podcast with Countdown Movies and sometimes television in order of awesomeness so you don't have to. And today's a very special show. We're having our first guests on in quite a while.
Oh, yeah.
Very excited to have Sam and Stacey from the Movie Reviews and 20Qs podcast on from New Zealand. Thank you, Hurleys, for joining the show.
Oh, our pleasure, man. Yeah. Can't wait. This is going to be great.
Thanks for having us. We're super excited.
Oh, I'm so excited. I'm so barred up. This is going to be awesome.
Almost as excited as Wayne and I were to be on your show this week as well to talk Basic Instinct.
Oh, yeah.
Which naturally comes with many bars, unless you're Stacey. So there's a little hint as to the way that the show went and a little bit of a back and forth between. So can you tell listeners why, first of all, you might have chosen this topic?
Well, to be honest, it's not something that I would have picked straight off the bat, but we are going to have a child very soon. We're going to have our first child very soon.
Oh, sorry.
Well, Stacey's going to have a child very soon.
Shut up, Paul, you fucking asshole.
Welcome to the soundboard.
Fucking soundboard, shit.
Jeez, man.
But yeah, we're going to have our first child soon, so... Me and Paul were having a bit of a back and forth as to what list we were going to do, and we sort of settled on this. Yeah,
and it's a really interesting topic, actually, once we started diving into it.
Do you guys have a way that you went around this? Because me and Paul had a little discussion earlier, and apparently I saw it not quite the same way Paul did.
See? Read. Big surprise to everyone who listens to our show.
No, maybe
Wayne misinterpreted.
Lick my left one.
Brief.
Okay, so top 10 movie parents?
Yeah.
That could be, see, to me, it's like, oh, the top 10 parents in movies that you dug or that you liked or whatever, right? Paul took it like the top 10 parents as in the top 10 most like good at being a parent.
Paul took it like literally the best parents.
Yeah.
No, yes.
Top 10 doesn't mean best. Yeah, well, anyway. So I don't know if you guys
have
a take
on
that.
You two? How did you come at it?
Well, we had like a little bit of a debate around that as well. We started to look at, okay, who is the best at parenting or who gives the biggest sacrifice to their kids or who's the most honorable or who's the most badass? Not trying to give away any of the answers on our list, but we tried to look at it like, is the being a parent an important part of their character in that film and how good are they at being that parent given the circumstances they've been put in?
Interesting.
Yeah. Oh, so a little bit more like me than you, Wayne.
Yeah, maybe it is.
All right, well, we will get to that list in due course. Again, this is a good opportunity as well. And if there's anyone on our show who hasn't listened to your show, shame on you. But can you please tell Alice a little bit about
Don't
movies?
Don't be a cunt,
Paul. It's hard.
True.
Yeah, fair enough. Hey, our show is Movie Reviews in 20Qs. We take a movie and we ask 20 questions about it. They can be anything and everything. You know, sometimes it's deep and poignant. Most of the times it's comedic. Other times it's just weird stuff that no one typically thinks when they see a film. You know, like how they'd incorporate Nicolas Cage into that movie or what quote from that movie would be the worst to hear after sex. You know, just real stuff like that, eh, Stace? That's pretty much it, right?
Yeah, we just try and review a movie by talking around the movie.
We don't normally actually review the movie. We pretty much say fuck all about the movie.
Oh, sounds perfect.
You give a score out of 10,000. That gives you all the information you need should you watch it or not. And then, have a lot of fun with it. It's a great show. It's very, very entertaining. And I'm not just saying that because we've been on it. Well, I've been on it a few times. And now Wayne has also been on. It's absolutely a weekly part of my week every week. So do check out Sam and Stacey and friends. Although
thanks,
days,
guys.
Less friends.
Yeah. Cheers, guys. I mean, you guys absolutely crushed it on our Basic Instinct episode. Thanks, guys. You guys were fucking awesome. Definitely check that one out.
So much fun. Can't wait to hear the final results. All right, then. That's Movie Reviews in 20Qs. This is the countdown. And we have to give, first of all, quick throwback to last week's episode, the top 10 bad girls in movies. And as you can imagine, Catherine Tramell did feature highly on those lists.
Big time.
Our Facebook listed community votes every week on who had the better list. I currently lead the year 861. However, Wayne has made some inroads because he won the bad girls list 27 votes to 20. Well done,
I am
Wayne.
Surprised. I did not
comfortable
know.
Victory. I did rally there at one point. It was like 18 apiece or whatever. And all the late votes were in for you. So well done. 8-7-1 is now the new score count as we progress into the, I think, second half of the year by the time the next episode drops.
Yeah, never underestimate the pity vote. You're like, this guy has such problems with women. I'll vote for him. We'll give him something.
I'll go through just a couple of reasons as to how people voted or why people voted that way. Etienne Fillion, Savier.
It's Savier, motherfucker.
Savier, you were right. Etienne has clarified that is the case. I do apologize. Voting for Paul because of the Alien Queen.
You also, should totally not do that.
Wayne got the pronunciation of my name right. Savier.
Word.
Yeah. James Spence says, I'm voting for Paul until Wayne watches Bill and Ted. Wayne, have you watched Bill and Ted yet?
No, I have not watched Bill and
Ted. All right,
Ted
James,
yet.
Looking forward to your vote this week for our podcast. Oh, hang on. Oh, be voting against Wayne. Oh, shit. That's a conundrum. Bob Ellis, because Wayne had a better top four. That's very much straightforward. Boom. Paul Murphy said, Wayne, just with Glenn Close in Fatal Attraction.
Mm-hmm.
Troy Spinner from the Confidential podcast said, Wayne flips the script and goes, oh, Glenn Close. Wayne gets the vote for sheer unpredictability. I'm surprised he got a single fucking vote the way all this is reading, to be brutally honest.
Yeah, you did well.
Everyone who bothered to write basically wrote Wayne, so I'm happy I got even 20 votes. There we are.
Had to win
something. A worthy, worthy winner. The only other thing we need to touch in on is, of course, the movie watching challenge, which we have put out to all our listeners as Hendo from the IMDb Journey podcast and I are the race to be the first to 500 films for the year.
Both insane.
As of this morning, Hendo had watched 339 films for the year.
Fuck?
I had watched 406. So I'm way ahead. However, and now, I've copped a lot of shit in our Facebook listening community. How can you possibly watch so many films, Paul?
Yes.
Well, by giving up my life is the answer. Nevertheless, I would like now to turn the spotlight on Hendo.
Oh.
The last 3 days, now I'm going to, my best day ever was 7.
Yeah, how the fuck did you do that, Vagisil?
I didn't explain it, but basically, partner was away, it was a Saturday, daughter had play dates all day, I sat there in front of the TV or my iPad the entire length of the day, and then after dropping daughter at her grandparents that night, sat in front of my TV the whole night long and got 7.
Fucking Christ, man.
I know, right? This is not how you enjoy
art. Hendo, the last 3 days has gone 7, 7, 8. So now, Facebook listener community, and indeed all listeners of the show, you may now direct your questions as to how this is humanly possible for a man who has a job and two children, to watch 7, 7, and 8 films in 3 days.
Are you turning on the movie, then going to take a shit?
Well, one must wonder.
Or an 8-hour sleep. Just like the entire trilogy. Like, here we go. Lord of the Rings. Yeah. Extended editions.
I've
time
to
go
weather
to bed.
The storm. And somehow, I've never got close to watching 22 films in 3 days. So there it is.
Throw it up, people. Just
who knows how many you've seen today. It's probably up to 15 by this point in the afternoon.
Throw you a shade as you will online. Go ahead, Paul. Do a post about it.
I've had my piece.
I'm telling you right now that if you go into Hendo's garage, it's going to be like the Batman fucking thing where he's got like 8 different screens watching the city. And it's just 8 movies that all playing at once. And he's just sitting there like, oh my God, yes.
He does rewatch a lot of films, I'll put it that way. So I guess maybe that's how he's getting through it as well. Anyway, okay, just saying. Just
Paul
saying.
Just jabbing the old fire there. Just fucking wham. All right.
At what this point do you on. Guys get like thrown in a loony bin in Australia? Like at one point do people
if there was a limit, Paul would have been in there already.
Everyone's now behind me. Even my fiance is behind me. She's like, I just want you to finish this fucking thing. Just put on a movie. Just put it on. So I've even got the full endorsement of my family now and I still cannot even get close to those numbers. It's just that Hendo left his run, well, maybe too late, but he reckons he's got 2 weeks of holidays coming. So this is going to go right to the wire.
Danger God. Zone.
Well, you're both insane.
Apparently he's going to watch 100 films in 2 weeks at this rate.
Shit.
The fuck. All right, you're both insane. Forget about it.
Yeah,
all right,
I feel
on with the show.
Let us go on with the show. That is the end of the feedback, whatever, intro section. Let's get into it. The other side of this music cue, the top 10 movie parents.
You got a friend in me. You got a friend in me. When the road looks rough ahead and you're miles and miles from your nice warm bed. Just remember what your old pal said. You've got a friend in me. Yeah, you've got a friend in me.
Movie parents. is what we're counting down today. We've already had a bit of a discussion about how difficult this topic was in some ways. We'll find out whether or not the shows have coalesced into the best list that they can.
Mm-hmm.
We always throw to our guests first. Sam and Stacey, then, please. Your number 10 best movie parent or parents.
Okay, Stacey Hurley, why don't you lead us off?
I'd love to. And our first movie parent is from the wonderful movie Finding Nemo. And ooh, that would be Marlin, the dad.
Okay. All right. How'd you arrive on this one?
This one would have been higher for us, actually, because that motherfucker does something incredibly, incredibly brave, which is goes into Australia. Like
to rescue his child.
To
yeah.
rescue his child. Now, I'm not saying if our child went to Australia, I wouldn't go rescue that child, but I'm hoping that child has life insurance, basically.
Well, you'd send someone else, wouldn't you? You'd send me.
True.
But Marlin is extremely timid. He hates to leave his own little coral in the Great Barrier Reef where they live. So this is a major for him. He's going way outside his comfort zone.
True.
So good on him.
Do you remember who played him?
Yeah, Albert Brooks.
Yeah, Albert Brooks. Really? Yeah, I like that guy. Oh, nice. All right. Good choice.
Well, I have one qualm.
Oh, please.
I think it's fair to say that Marlin is a very anxious individual.
Oh, yeah. He's yes. busy.
And I think he's selling a lot of that anxiety to his poor offspring.
Oh, shit. Shrink boy, come out now.
Oh. I'm not saying the whole point of the film is him overcoming that, but whether he's been a great dad up until that point, I have some questions about.
Well,
hey,
you know.
Hey, Nemo is very well adjusted. He's enthusiastic. He's going out there in the world.
Yeah, well, he's been seeing the world.
He's rebelling.
He's looking up with strange, like mentally challenged fish as well, like Dory.
Oh, Dory. I watched Finding Dory last night for the first time.
Was it good?
Nowhere near as good as Finding
really?
Dory. It's beautifully animated, but it's really a chore to sit through because there's only so many times you can deal with Dory being
being a
her
fish. Yeah, that would be a bit weird. Okay, all right.
It does have a great end sequence though, where the fishes and the octopus are driving a car.
What?
Yeah, I'll let you work that one out.
That seems pretty good.
Have you guys seen it?
Nah, we're not big on animated films, but Stacey loves that one.
Well, in that case, you got a kid coming. Get used to it, Sam.
That's right, mate.
All right, Wayne, why don't you take us away with our number 10, because this was solidly your choice, though
yes,
I did not disagree.
I don't mind that everyone thinks I'm a bitch, but my number 10, or our number 10. Yes, exactly. Our number 10 is Three Men and a Baby, Those Three Dudes. That's right. I said it. Three Men and a Baby. I had some very big...
It's never good when you justify it by saying, that's right, I said it.
No, I think it's fine. I think it's fine. When you're me, you get called a bitch a lot. Now, I did love Three Men and a Baby when
bitch,
I was a kid.
Bitch.
So,
bitch.
Yeah. Now it's like a blessing. but those three guys with the whole, okay, so they are three cool dudes in, I think, New York, and like one's an architect and one's a freaking cartoonist and Ted Danson's an actor. And then they finally come. The way that they actually ended up being thrust upon this parenthood thing, and then they worked out and made it cute and started singing Goodnight, Sweetheart and shit like that. I actually love those guys. So again, this is me coming from the... I like the parents as opposed to are they good parents? Though, Paul, were they good parents?
Well, I can't remember the film that well, but I do believe they did their level best with the baby and they put the baby's needs above their own and, you know, for example, stopped banging women when the baby cried. So that's a good sign.
Yeah, and that's what everyone should do. When a baby cries, pull it out.
Yeah, stop banging.
Not going to lie, that was nowhere near either of our lists. So good
as
on your way.
As I said.
But only because Sam wouldn't let me. I do. I think that's a great, great one.
Yeah. Thank you, Stacey.
I love those guys.
Oh, good. All right.
Your number 9.
Cool. Our number 9 might get low thrown at it, might not even be on your guys' list, but we are going to go with Mr. Levinstein, a.k.a. Jim's dad from the American Pie series.
On my list, not on Wayne's, didn't make our cut.
That's right.
Good please. Pick. Good pick.
Tell us about Mr. Levinstein.
Levinstein.
Gene Levy. Well,
here's the thing, right? He gives out some really good life advice. And then typically in American teen movies, the parents are like really conservative and are there to play for straight man laughs and stuff like that. Not this guy. He's out there. He's giving his son porno magazines. He's giving him life advice. You know, he smashes back a MILF in one of them films. I can't remember which one, but he manages to get it on with Stifler's mum. I think it's number 2. But the best part about this guy is he finds his son fucking a pie and his reaction is, we'll just tell your mum we ate it. That is cool. Awesome parenting.
Spot on. That is spot,
spot
on.
He doesn't judge. This is what I was emphasizing. He doesn't judge. Yeah. He just rolls with it and he is trying to help his son through a very awkward phase.
Exactly.
Paul and I were talking about this the other day. Actually, just before this. Did you guys like did your parents have a talk with you guys like he did? Like,
it was
there
more
a
of
moment?
A yell than a talk, but yeah. Like,
what was the content of your talk? Yeah, what was your Sam? And Stacey, Sam did and your mum?
Actually, how does it work for women? Yeah.
My parents got me the Where Did I Come From book.
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah.
That was, I don't know if you guys have it in Australia. I don't know if it's a
I have seen it. I've
heard
seen
of?
It.
Heard of?
I've read it yesterday.
Yeah, and it's just like cartoon figures of like when a man loves a woman, they get, you know, cuddle. And that was a. But aside from that, man, it's unsurprisingly to anyone that's listened to our podcast, I'm pretty sure I learned everything I know from pornos.
Yeah, man.
Well, we're a little bit older than you are, and we didn't have that luxury of
No, there was no
porn.
Pornos, all right? It was none of this. I think some kid once brought a Playboy to school.
Oh, yeah,
we were
man.
Like,
yeah.
Oh, my God, that woman's got a fanny. And so we didn't know, man. We were like, you're five and shit, all right? I was telling Paul on our show that we
can't believe he's going live.
I don't give a
this.
Shit. All right, we get misinformation when we were young because there was no like internet or anything. And one of the guys at school when I was in year five told me, he said, "Hey Wayne, do you know how Lizzos do it?" And I said, "No, how?" He says they piss in a cup and then exchange it and drink it.
Oh, my goodness.
This is accurate. Yeah.
I was like, what? Why would they do that? I'm like, yeah, I know. I mean, for all I know now, they do that. But like, yeah, that's, so we got a lot of misinformation and a lot of girls have paid the price.
Well, speaking of girls paying prices, Stacey, did you have the conversation with your parents?
Well, I think I had a really good education here. So I learn a lot of stuff at school, like proper facts and things. And
so
but,
intel. Oh, wow.
And so by the time I had the conversation with my mum, it was more about, you can just say no.
Just,
it was
oh,
more
so it was
of
like
that
prevention.
Topic. Yeah.
That you can just say enough. No conversation happened before our wedding as well.
Actually, wasn't. I was talking about this on the Patreon episode where we recorded our list together as well. Same thing. Like my dad one day took the opportunity driving home, just me and him. And he's like, when I'm about 13, he's like, son, need to talk to you about something. I'm like, yeah. And he's like, well, you're going to have some feelings.
In your nether regions.
For women, and that's okay. And just if you do anything about them, wear a condom. Pretty much how the
so
conversation
there was,
went.
Was no like, do you know what a condom is? Do you know where it goes?
Nah.
Make sure you roll it.
Nah.
All right.
No. The whole putting a condom on thing, that was, what's the word looking for? In vivo experience.
You guys didn't get the fake dicks and the condoms in like physical education class?
No, we went to a Catholic school.
Did you get a fake dick?
There was no we such got... thing as fake dicks or cucumbers.
Yeah, we got giant wooden dicks that we had to practice putting condoms on.
That's fucking so much hell. Better. I think Paul stole one of those. No. He hid it in his ass. No, I'm amazed that you actually got wooden dicks. We never got that. We got diagrams. And the diagram had a surprisingly lot of pubic hair on
it. And a really hot teacher who was doing it, which was just awkward.
Yeah, because then you're like, oh, ew. Yeah, I know what you mean.
Anyway
on. Sorry. All right,
top 10
sorry,
movie
sorry.
Parents, not so, top 10
yes.
birds
okay,
and
so what's next on the wooden dicks list? I mean, the parents list.
All right, so that was your 9. Our 9 is really does come from me, I have to be honest, because Wayne's never seen this film.
Dude,
and you were good enough. He did insist it should go on the list. It's from all the way back in 1962, and I'm talking Gregory Peck as Atticus Finch in Harper Lee's To Kill a Mockingbird. Have you guys
I
seen
do
this
believe
one?
The words are
low. Oh, shit. Everyone's up on this
very
one.
Very nice. I'm glad that you guys have some culture. I'm sorry that I'm carrying the loads that is Wayne around my neck.
Carrying
la-dee-da, you motherfuckers.
Of course, the culture for me has only come this year when I've been working through the IMDb right. Top 250. But nonetheless, moving right along. Look, I can't think of, was it set in the 30s? Is that right, Sam?
Yes, set in the 30s, yep. 1931 or 32?
Yeah, I thought 31, yep. 32. And basically, you could not find a more level-headed, decent man at that particular time, I don't believe, than Atticus Finch. He's a lawyer. He will take on a case of an African-American man who's been wrongfully accused of raping a white woman. Mm. And at the same time, is managing to parent his son and daughter who are up to hijinks with the mysterious secret house down the road with the scary dude who lives within there and never judges it. He's lost his wife already, so he's doing it all on his own, and yet these kids are clearly growing up to be pretty reasonable human beings. And I just the way he handles when they're criticized, the way he handles the public pressure around this case, he's such a bastion, can I say, of what's right in a parent.
Yeah.
It has such a cool name.
It's just phenomenal because it's in the middle of Alabama too. Like it's like 1930s middle of like rural America, you know. It's a made up town of Macomb or whatever, but yeah, it's phenomenal. He's amazing in that film.
Sounds like a very involved piece for that time, for you know, an older movie. So
as far as these films go, it's well worth a look. Mainly for his character and the way that he interacts with his children, I think. So the fact it's high on your list is not surprising.
Yeah, it's based on the book by Harper Lee, and her dad was actually a lawyer who did a similar case or something like that. Or there's another case of like 9 black youths that got rounded up and accused of raping 2 white women, even though there was no like proof whatsoever, and she sort of based it on that. So yeah.
Mm, shit.
And let's not forget, and this might actually be the thing that gets Wayne over the line, he's a pretty good dresser.
Yes.
He is.
Oh, he's a suave motherfucker, yeah.
If you can swing a light colored suit like that, you're doing well.
All right, that's our 9. I guess we'll hear it again at some point on your list. You're number 8?
Yes, our number 8.
Brace yourselves.
Okay.
Unexpected maybe. We're going with Cameron Poe.
Oh, shit!
From Con Air. Played by Nicolas Cage.
That was Paul's stupid soundboard.
That was my stupid soundboard.
We know, we know.
Fuck you, Paul.
Probably should have gone with it when Stacey said it. Sorry.
Yes, dumbass.
Stacey notoriously hates Nicolas Cage. As anyone who's listened to the podcast will know. That's why when she suggested this, I was like, I'm going to make sure that motherfucker gets on this list.
So did you force Stacey to have... Or was Stacey like all up and agreeing that that Cameron Poe is a great parent?
Well, actually, it was my idea.
It was awesome.
Oh, wow.
I just came up with it. We were talking about parents.
You are probably all stops to
win. It's like a good choice. It's a good choice.
We were talking about parents, and we've watched Con Air recently, and I was like, Cameron Poe. I was like, I mean, as much as I hate Nicolas Cage, he does everything he humanly can to get that bunny to his daughter.
Back.
Despite the situation he finds himself in a plane full of convicts going across state. Notice that we haven't named Casey's mum.
Oh, yeah, there's Trisha no way Poe. We're putting the mother on there. The mother that bloody takes her child to the scene of an aircraft crash could potentially witness a whole bunch of like dead convicts, including her dead father. Yeah, no, we're not including her.
Yeah, no, she's an irresponsible mother.
I'm intrigued, like, two about to be parents and one parent. Cameron Poe's decision was he unfortunately got thrown in jail before his daughter was born and chose to never see her for 5 years or whatever it was until he got out, right? Is that a good call? Is that a good call, people? Like, if you're the dad, is that a good thing? Do you want the kid to not know you? Or because he didn't want her to see him in jail, which is understandable.
It's an interesting question. Difficult to answer.
All right, it'd be a tough one.
With my 3 stints in jail, I wasn't sure how I should behave.
Yeah, well, you shouldn't have robbed them banks, bitch. So
yeah, it's a tough one, and I guess people would go about different ways. I'm not going to denigrate the pick on that basis.
Okay, good call.
Very nice. And I'm so glad, Stacey, you are finally, after 92, 93 episodes of Movie Reviews in 20 Kids, on the Nicolas Cage train. Cage train.
Yeah.
Cage train.
Cage rage. Got it.
All aboard, babe.
All right, our number 8 then.
Number 8. This is one of Paul's picks, so...
It is, and Wayne was so dubious about it that I had to lower it down the list, even though I think it's a stellar example of great parenting. It is Daniel Hillard, as played by Robin Williams in Mrs. Doubtfire.
Oh, no.
See?
No, I told you,
fucker. No fucking way, man. A dude that dresses up as a fucking woman to go hang out with his kids after he's been court ordered not to. Not to dress up with.
To be a parent. He's still parenting them and having to go to extreme lengths. That's showing his love for his children. And when they later realize that this is what dad would do for us, they are going to be better people for it.
You know what's going to happen? In like, you know, when the court case comes up and it's like, well, my dad dressed up like a woman and
we learned
spent time with us.
This. And by the way, by the end of the film, it all works because Sally Field's all like, all right, yeah, you have proven you're a good dad. And
Stockholm Syndrome.
We'll have shared Stockholm Syndrome. We'll have shared custody. So, well, you guys aren't on board. Well, at least Sam, you're not. I think anyone who's got children would understand this is the lengths you would go to.
I would be very interested to see who's on board with this
right,
one.
That's right, pull the cat out. you guys understand in 3 weeks and one day.
Maybe. I don't know. If I start dressing up as a woman just hanging out with our kids, Stacey, I'm pretty sure you're allowed to have me arrested.
That's what
After
I thought.
After your split and Stacey won't let you see the child anymore. That's the defining characteristic here, Sam.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I'd probably be like cool with that.
All right, moving on.
Well, you're talking about men that will go to great lengths to protect and or spend time with their children. Why not Brian Mills from Taken?
I'll save everyone the doubt.
Did suspect it. I mean, we're talking about a man with nothing but two words, manages to go to the one city he knows his daughter's in and goes through hell and back to get her rescued. Now, admittedly, there's two more films, so he's not that great a parent. He gets himself kidnapped to the second one. And who fucking knows what happened in the third one, because I was checked out by that point. But
oh, that film is fucking garbage. Let's pretend it doesn't exist.
The third one.
The one that took, what was it, 15 cuts to show him jumping over a fence that takes 7 seconds?
Yep. Really? No, I want to see it.
Oh, that's amazing.
The only film worse cut than that is Peter Berg's, was it 18 Miles or whatever it was called?
Oh, yeah.
Peter Shit? Okay.
Yeah. Oh, that's it? Okay, well, look, yeah, I had this on my list. Very high. So high, in fact, it was my number one, and Wayne wouldn't let me have it that high, and he called it into question. So, Wayne, eat all.
Well, my deal was, what I said to Paul was, you know, if Liam Neeson had to, you know, he was so paranoid about his kid, he almost wouldn't let her into the world without following or offering to follow, and she said no.
Offering to follow and following are two very different things.
Well, it turns out he was
offering you my dick.
And if you actually follow through with it, it'll be just like last Tuesday. So, okay. No, good one, good one. I mean, I'm glad that's on your list, so word.
Seven. Wayne, over to you for our seven.
Our number seven is, have you seen the movie Juno? Juno?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, so Juno's parents are J.K. Simmons and who's the other chick, Paul?
Allison Janney.
Allison Janney. And we
Academy
thought,
Award-winning Allison Janney.
Oh, yes, true that. Both now, I brought this one up just because I thought they were exceedingly cool about their daughter having gotten knocked up. Now, I don't believe, and I'm not a father, thankfully, but I don't know if I would handle it as well as J.K. Simmons, where he just got slightly mad and is like, you know, basically he was pissed off that Michael Cera knocked up his kid. I'm going to punch him in the wiener and so on. And then the wife says, oh, come on. Do you really think it was his idea? It was definitely our strong-headed, willed daughter that said, let's go slam ass, right? So
yeah.
The fact that they understood that and said, okay, let's now just do everything to make this work, and then they put it up for adoption and so on and so on and so on, that was what made it all cool. I just dug those parents, man. And I dare say I'd never be that cool a parent, but I'm sure y'all would be. Hopefully you never try to find out.
Fuck no.
No, they were good. They were honorable mentions for us. They're a good pick, man. Yeah, they're awesome.
I agreed. This was also on my list, and I thought the fact that Allison Janney's also a stepmom sort of elevates it a little bit too.
It does.
It's that much harder a deal when you're not it's not actually your child to find that love and compassion. And as you said, she's the one that defends her immediately and still calls her our daughter. I can't remember how early she comes into the piece in the film, but like, is she there from when the kid's like 3 months old or whatever?
True.
I think they're great parents, and even down to the fact when he's saying to her, like, doesn't matter if you're on your worst day or you're vomiting or whatever else, he should still love you to pieces. And it's such a great speech.
Yeah, that was cool.
From Dad. By the guy who's so fucking terrifying 9 years later in Whiplash.
Whiplash,
or
dude.
Six, 8 years later in Whiplash.
Yeah, that guy didn't give a fuck about you.
If you've got any questions to how J.K. Simmons is an Academy Award-winning actor, watch that film and this film.
Yeah, legend.
Back to back, and you will know.
Oh, totally agree with you, mate. Yeah.
All right, cool. Back to you guys.
Okay, what's our number six there, Stacey?
Oh, this is a goodie. We went with the Kents from the original 1978 Superman.
Okay, yeah.
The Kents.
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 I was wondering if we were going to get through this without that, but apparently the answer is no.
You're mocking me.
Yes, Wayne was.
Are you talking about Man of Steel, the Kents?
Fish and chips.
No. 78.
Oh, 78.
Yeah, 78. Yeah. 78.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Richard Donner Superman.
Yeah, no, they were beautiful elf people.
Yeah, they were. So their, I guess, claim to fame, how they got number six on our list, is they managed to raise an alien baby who was a paragon of
paragon of virgins.
Probably is, actually.
Yeah, totally is.
Paragon of virtue in Bible Belt, redneck America. He's the nicest guy ever. You know, they've managed to raise this amazing, amazing person.
We were tossing up between Jor-El as well, because Jor-El, you know, Marlon Brando, he sends him to Earth, and then the Kents raise him, and then he goes off to the Fortress of Solitude, and then Jor-El sort of tutors him then. But right at the end of the movie, Clark Kent Superman has a decision of whether he, because his dad, Jor-El, basically says, you know, don't interfere with human history. but he listens to the Kents and he reverses time. And sure, everyone thinks it's fucking stupid flying around the world.
Because it is.
Yeah, because it is. It's fucking stupid. But at the same time, he goes back in time, he rescues Lois, he saves the day, he does everything. And he got that from his from the Kents.
Very good. It could easily have Brightburned for them. exactly. I think.
Well, that's the point that movie makes.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, it sort of makes. It. Anyway. Have you seen Brightburn yet?
Yes, I have.
Oh, good. Okay, we'll talk good. About that. Some other future point, but yeah.
You know when he went and just a little point here. So Superman goes and flies around the world the other way, turns it back, turns back time, goes back to Lois Lane, and then what's up? And then he like kisses her or something, and then she loses her memory.
Yes.
That's not a Superman power. That is not something well, Superman can do.
Well, in the film, his lips are neuralizers.
Oh, please. That was the thing that gave me the shits. I'm like, whoa. Now you can just make people forget? Why don't you just do that?
I love the way that flying the world backwards doesn't bother you, but kissing some chicks no, and all reversing her memory.
But at least like, he's just the jealous. Power Superman has. Power. He flies around the world. He can do that. Anywho.
I do like, yeah, anyway. Okay, yeah, good. That's a totally understandable pick. Well done there. Our number six is equally as sacrificial because as opposed to flying around the world and reversing time, here's a man who kills himself to save the world. I'm talking about Bruce Willis as Harry Stamper in Armageddon. God.
Oh, Jesus.
So not fans then. Good to hear. Good to know.
I'm not a massive fan. I love how you guys have mentioned Armageddon on several of your podcasts and it keeps coming up.
About 56%.
For the record, I do agree with this one, but it is Paul's.
Yeah, I was the one that threw it up there. And I just think that a bloke who... Look, Wayne, in an earlier podcast, he's forgotten, but made the argument that he didn't save the world. He saved the world for his daughter. Because... Mm. It was supposed to be AJ, so Ben Affleck's character, who drew the short straw and was going to die. And Harry's like, nah, because what's going to make my daughter happier?
Yes.
And that's having her boyfriend rather than me. Like, they have their whole lives ahead of them. He's prepared to lay down his life as long as his daughter will be happier if he's not there. That's fucking parenting.
It's pretty great. It's pretty great. And also, I mean, it's more that it was just cool. Like, I honestly thought it was like, this guy is like bust. Like, this kid will never forget him now. You know what I'm saying? But we were saying this on the podcast.
Oh, my God.
Well. I was saying this on the podcast as well. He may have fucked up inadvertently because I don't think those two are staying together. All right.
Oh, no.
Ben
no
Affleck's
hell,
probably going to fuck around on like Liv Tyler and then some shit's going to go south.
Not anymore.
Like
he's not.
I don't know, man. He's still going to resent
she
the
will
shit
tear
out.
His fucking balls off.
Yeah. All women tear all
nope.
balls off. It doesn't
I mean,
you don't
literally.
Fuck. Yeah, I mean, look, I think
it's John Wayne Bobbitt style.
Oh, all I've got to say is that the counterpoint to that is Bruce Willis. That's
look,
it.
We all know he's a Bruce dickhead Willis. Now, but back in the heady days of 1998,
we didn't know he was a dickhead.
Bruce Willis was still a
he
good
a
guy.
Well, to Australians.
We're New Zealanders. We're ahead of you in time, and we sort of knew. After Pulp Fiction, he turned into a dick man.
After Die Hard with a Vengeance.
Oh, yeah, that was the turning point.
All right, that's our six top halves of the list then. Number fives.
Our number five, I was debating about whether to include just one, but I've also gone out on a limb and included the male of this relationship as well.
Okay.
I am going to go with Sarah Connor and Kyle Reese.
Kyle Reese. Interesting how Reese gets a look in.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing, right? Like, Sarah Connor, you know, there's a few knocks against her. She gets her kid taken off her, all that sort of shit. But she's preparing
her
for the apocalypse
life
to be
mental
the
hospital. Sure.
Yeah, but that was after
all of
the
that.
Kid. Yeah.
All of that. But she turns out to be true in everything that she was imagining. And he goes on to be the savior of humanity in the war against the robots, which is awesome.
Because
but,
she taught him.
But the other thing is, too, when it comes to parenting, I couldn't think of anything bigger than your best friend coming into you and saying, hey, I need you to go back through time. You're going to be the first human to go back through time. And you do that just so you could fuck your best friend's mum and make your best friend. Now, that is some out-of-this-world parenting.
Now, that is big, which reminds me, actually raises a question.
It not have been big.
He didn't know he was going to go back and fuck his mum, right? He didn't know he was sending his best friend back to be his dad, right? Like, that just happened to happen. Because it was always ordained. Is that
wasn't
right?
There a photo? Paul might remember this. I feel like there was a photo that sort of
not of
maybe
Reese.
He knew a little bit.
No, the photo of Sarah Connor. I don't know. That's a good question. I can't.
Can you imagine that? It'd be like me saying, hey, Paul, go back in time and fuck my mom and then be my dad.
Exactly.
And don't come back.
Believe me, mate, if you were my son, there'd be a difference in you.
You know, I would be like, I would have hair. Yeah, I'd be like...
I don't think you'd be the savior of humanity, Wayne. I'm pretty sure.
I don't think it would make a difference.
Can you imagine that humanity?
Oh, yeah. Everyone would dig shit.
everyone would dig things that Wayne thinks is cool. All right, well, that's an interesting choice. Stacey, where were you on that one?
Well, wait for it. I had no input on that one whatsoever. I haven't seen the Terminator movies. So
oh, really?
Fun.
Wow.
Yeah.
But he married you anyway. No.
I know, I should just pretend I have, right? Yeah.
No, I like the fact, though, that when Sam makes a choice, you stick by it by not saying anything. Wayne, take fucking note.
Oh, suck it, dude. Make better choices.
No, well, I mean, we did discuss this earlier, and he just sold it to me so well.
Ah, see.
I totally agree.
Yeah, it goes
exactly the way I did to Wayne, and he chooses to ignore it because he is a prick.
Because it didn't happen. All right.
Our number five. This is where we put Brian Mills in Taken.
Liam Neeson. Hmm. Scott.
Interesting.
So straight to you, number four.
Okay, and so this is where we actually put Atticus Finch.
Oh, wow.
Number four.
It's high.
Huzzah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Original list, I had him as six. So somewhere in the middle of those two. But that's nice that we all had it in there. So that was one you approved of, Stacey, as well?
Classicist?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. For all of the reasons that you said, you know, a widower who taught his kids to judge people not on the colour of their skin, but on the character of their being. What is more important than that?
Yes. Exactly.
100%.
Well, no way to make a joke about that. So, all right.
Much to Wayne's disappointment.
But you have anyway. Well done, Wayne.
We'll talk about him later.
Number four is all Wayne. It's so Wayne, you can feel the Wayne dripping off it.
It's actually kind of true if you're talking about this lead actor. Mean Girls. We're talking about, I'm talking about Lindsay Lohan's folks in Mean Girls, who are the janitor from Scrubs. And yeah, I can't remember the other guy.
I don't know. I watched this movie once.
I'm trying to remember. But anyway, they're both very cool because...
good choice, sir.
Yeah, motherfucker. They took... Because Mean Girls... You guys seen Mean Girls?
We have, yeah.
You know how she was with her family in South Africa, then they come to America when they're all teenagers. Well, she's a teenager. And then the cool thing I thought about it was that she had such respect between her parents and herself and that relationship that they didn't even know how to ground her properly because they just trusted her. And it was a total stark contrast to the way that normal kids are. I thought that thing was the shit. If your folks were like that and cool with everything, I bet you'd grow up like a really well-adjusted person. And, you know, she's hot too.
Interesting thought. I mean... Yeah, we didn't come anywhere near our list. I think the knock against them is they did not prepare her for high school whatsoever. Like, they homeschooled her. They should have been bullying her and, you know, like, fucking just ripping the piss out of her. But, yeah, she wasn't prepared for school at all.
You think it's because they didn't know or they just didn't try? I mean...
Yeah, didn't try.
Yeah, okay. Well, you know, I love the relationship. What can I say?
Yeah, they're still great parents, though. Don't get me wrong. They're still a good pick, yeah.
Coolio. You guys for number three.
Now, our pick for number three is, well, it's a foreign film. It's not that well known. It's Roberto Benigni's character, Guido.
Slightly low.
Oh. Life is Beautiful.
Why? Why, Hurleys? Why would this be on the list? And why would uneducated cultural lodestone to my left here, why should he watch this film?
So, the... spoiler alert for the 1997 film. I know you guys, you know, had trouble recently with a whole bunch of spoiler alerts. So spoiler alert. So if you're not planning on seeing Life is Beautiful, then just ignore
the next... so it doesn't matter what we say.
Keep going.
For the next 2 minutes or whatever. So the first half of the film is the love story between this man and this woman, and they meet in, like, you know, olden day Italy, and they get together and all this other shit. What you don't realize
the first
is
half is it's shit.
Yeah,
it's awful. It's just the first half sort of like, what the fuck are people raving about?
Okay. Yeah.
Interesting.
So it's just the standard... Yeah, but, so it's just a standard romance film, and then the second half is, what you don't realize is the backdrop of it is World War II. So because he's Jewish, he gets locked up, he gets taken to a concentration camp, he goes along there with his son, and then he basically tells his son that the concentration camp isn't as evil as he thinks, it's actually a big hiding game and all this other stuff, you know, the big games you got to play, and then the winner at the end, the first person to get 1,000 points gets a tank. So they spend the entire film...
Wow.
Of him just covering for his son, hiding his son in concentration camp rooms and here, there, and everywhere. And the way the film ends is with him actually dying. And his son doesn't realize that. And his son comes out and looks up the road and there's an American tank coming over the hill. And his son's like, I won. And it's such a lovely story.
Holy shit.
Yep. Nailed it.
That's cool. Yep. Wow. No wonder.
He gives everything for his son.
Yeah, like I say, he kind of convinces him that this everyone's in on this game. Like the Nazis are actors who are just, you know, for his... So why was he so mean, Dad? Oh, that's his job. He's got to be mean to keep the game, you know, authentic and this kind of stuff.
Do you enjoy the performance? His performance?
The second half is better.
Okay.
So he doesn't act. Do you see how he was when he won the
Academy
Award?
I saw the standing on the
seats.
That's
exactly how he is in this movie.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
He's like a clown. He's really flamboyant. And
yeah. Not sure there's a lot of acting involved in this film. Let's put it that way. He's just transposing himself from 1990, whatever it was, to 1940, whatever.
That's how I would be if I was an actor. Mm. Yeah.
I've seen you.
Very nice, folks. Release
the Brazil cut.
Right. Yeah, the Brazil cut. Release it. We need to see it.
Right, okay. Great pick. Love the pick. And I obviously totally agree. Our number three, however, is Wayne's Baby.
Totally, guys. There's this movie called About Time. And you guys know? All right, awesome. Yes.
Honorable mention.
Yes.
Dude, okay.
This was so close to being on our list.
I know, right? So anyone, I'm sure our listeners have already talked about this before, but long story short, this dude can go back in time. That's something him and his family can do, and he ends up like visiting his father even after his death because he can go back in time and just talk to him anytime. Now, their relationship is the bomb because Bill Nighy knows that he died in the future, and he's just talking like casually with Donald Gleason about, you know, stuff until it comes to a stage where he can no longer go back and talk to his dad. So they do this thing, which I won't spoil for anyone who's going to see the movie, but it made me cry like a pussy. So, like, it absolutely wrecked me when I saw it. And I thought to myself, I just love Bill Nighy. I love Bill Nighy's dad in this movie. So,
Bill Nighy's dad?
Well, Bill Nighy's dad he's character. Dad. Okay, gotcha, yeah. About Time, Bill Nighy. That's my number three. Our number three parent. It's actually my number one, but it's our number three parent.
Sounds unanimous on that one.
Yeah. So
Paul's like, yeah, you're a pussy, but okay.
I get it. All right, cool. Number twos.
Okay, so we went for number two. We went with Evelyn and Lee Abbott, played by Emily Blunt and John Krasinski.
God damn you, Wayne!
And A Quiet Place.
Which is, I had this, I had it at seven.
You didn't have a high cracker, Archie.
I had it at seven, and I loved this pick. And Wayne, actually, to be fair, you didn't denigrate.
No, I said you can totally have it if you want.
Didn't quite make it. How does it get so high on your list?
Well, despite incredibly difficult living conditions.
Oh, slightly, yeah.
And
slightly
extreme threats to their survival.
Like living in Australia.
Yeah. They managed to set up a livable environment for their three kids. Okay, the one mark against them is one of their kids did get killed.
Yeah, which is
wasn't their fault.
Exactly what I said.
You guys are all parents or parents to me. Because I
put
like,
it down to seven because I'm like, they did fuck up a bit at the start of the film.
So wait a minute. It's their fault the child's a retard. So what's going on here? They said don't bring the damn toy, and he picks it up like a bitch anyway.
Well, he didn't. The daughter didn't give it back.
Yeah, the daughter.
Exactly. So that was our answer. That was our kind of answer to that. Is it wasn't them directly. They didn't give him the batteries for that toy.
No.
He was just being a kid. But in the end of the movie, I mean, Lee as the dad sacrifices himself to save his other two kids.
Spoilers, but yes.
Oh, shit.
Sorry. And not to mention that Evelyn gave birth to a child in almost complete silence.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Stacey,
God, that was tough.
Your challenge is...
With monsters outside the room, Stacey, that will probably be my mum. You've got to try and give birth to a child without making a noise so that my mum doesn't know about it. So she's not in there harassing us the second it's happened.
There's a man who's comfortable. His mum doesn't listen to every podcast.
Abso-fucking-lutely.
Yeah, no,
what's a podcast?
Yeah.
I don't want you to find out, mum.
That is a good call.
Obviously I agree.
It's a good choice. So am I.
Like I said, it couldn't quite justify it for the start, but certainly the last parts of the film, that's A1 parenting.
Yeah, absolutely.
Nice work, Paulie.
Now number two, this is where we had Guido Orifice, because I'm pretty sure that's how you say his name from Life is Beautiful. Fair enough. That's it. That's our. We're here now at the recap stage. Give us your 10 through 2, if you wouldn't mind, movie reviews in 20 Qs, and then reveal your number one. And geez, I wonder if it's the same as ours.
Yeah. Don't know. Maybe. Coming in at number 10, we had Marlin from Finding Nemo. Coming in at 9, we had Jim's Dad from the American Pie series. Coming in at 8, we had Cameron Poe from Con Air. Obviously, that was a straight man. Coming in at number 7, we have Brian Mills from Taken, just the first one. For number 6, we have Myron Park Kent from Superman 1978. For number 5, we have Sarah Connor and Kyle Reese from the Terminator franchise, I guess you could say. Number 4, Atticus Finch. Number 3 is Guido from Life is Beautiful. Number 2 is Evelyn and Lee Abbott from A Quiet Place. Coming in at number 1, I Love You 3000, Tony Stark and Pepper Potts.
Ooh, wow. Left field.
Not where we went.
No,
okay.
Damn, girls. That's the
not even mentioned on our list. Please explain.
Well, here's the thing. Every single one of our parents has given themselves, sacrificed some of their life, whatever, and the name of their children. Now, Tony Stark does the ultimate sacrifice. He sacrifices his life, not just for his kid, but for all of Earth and probably the universe. He wipes out the biggest threat to the universe. Bruce Willis saved one fucking planet. This motherfucker saved the biggest tyrant in the galaxy.
That's a good point. He didn't save the universe.
Yeah. He saved the universe from half of the whole entire population being wiped out again. He actually brought half, well, he didn't. Hulk brought back half the population. That is extreme level parenting. You know, he had his whole life set up where it was like, okay, it's just me, my daughter, my wife, sweet ass. He didn't stop at that. He wanted the best for his child going forward. He sacrificed himself for that. And I've got to hand it to Pepper Potts. Sitting there, looking him in the face and saying, don't worry, me and her will be fine. That was a touching moment.
Absolutely. You got to have some foresight and absolute strength to pull that shit.
I was more touched by buddy Peter Parker's response to his death, to be honest.
Yes. Oh, really? Well, that's the thing. That was almost a bit of surrogate parenting there as well. The fact that he was a bit of a mentor to Peter Parker. So, you know, like don't get me wrong. Like, he does an amazing job, but I still think Pepper Potts is, you know, she's there as well. Because that's... so that sounds ruthless. But she also... she also says to him, you know, since when have you been able to, like, forget things or whatever? And she actually encourages him to go out and do this and be the best parent and create the best universe for their daughter. That, for me... unbelievable.
You know,
and
what
I'm also a massive Marvel fan, so
totally. You know what I reckon?
What? If no.
If Tony hadn't gone back in time and had that moment with his father, he wouldn't have snapped his fingers. That's what I think.
I don't think he would.
You know what I'm saying? He needed that to get there.
We need to justify that 20 minutes of the film we didn't need.
Oh no, that was a good scene. That was where I could take a piss.
All right, very nice. Well done, New Zealanders. Here we are, then. I'm going to run through our 10 through 2 and reveal our number 1. At number 10, Three Men and a Baby from Three Men and a Baby. So the three men in that particular film. Atticus Finch from To Kill a Mockingbird. Robin Williams in Mrs. Doubtfire at 8. The Juno Parents at number 7. Harry Stamper, Bruce Willis in Armageddon at number 6. Liam Neeson's Brian Mills from Taken at number 5. Again, as Sam has already said, the first one. Then we have the parents from Mean Girls, which we can't remember the parent, the female.
Chick's name, but it was a...
but we do know it was a janitor from Scrubs.
Scrubs dude.
Bill Nighy in About Time, number 3. Roberto Benigni in A Life is Beautiful, number 2. And number 1, truly shocked, it did not rate on your radars. We are going animated. We are going superheroes. We are going... The Incredibles parents.
That's right.
Incredibles film.
We discussed that.
Now, you guys also think they're highly irresponsible. That was our thing. Yeah.
Irresponsible?
Well,
they're putting
their
kids in
dead.
Danger all the time.
All their kids are alive, and yet they all have superpowers, and one of them has so many superpowers, you don't even know what he's going to do from minute to minute, and yet they manage this family extraordinarily well whilst still, and at least in Mr. Credible's case, all the way through 1 and 2, fighting crime. And when it comes time to change roles and let Mr. Incredible stay home and do the deed there, he does an okay job. Obviously not as good as Mrs. Incredible, but she still kicks all the ass when she's out fighting crime. That is parenting of the first class. Be good at your job and your role and still be good at parenting.
Yeah, ask me. That's the cool parent thing that I was hitting. That was the I like the favorite parents of a TV, of a movie. So... as opposed to them being good parents. Although I guess they did keep the kids alive, like you said.
Yes. So, would you like to hear Wayne's number 2 on his list? Go on, Wayne.
We'd love to.
Let's see what the Hurleys think about your number two.
My iPad died, and I've been winging it for about since number four. In that case, I'm not quite sure what I did for number two. What was it?
Wayne's number two was Harry's. Not Harry's. What's his name? Harry Rehnquist.
And oh, fucking True Lies,
True
bitch.
Lies.
That's right. Okay, see, now all the parents are rebelling against this.
Worst parents
what?
Ever.
He's a secret agent, so is she now. He uses a Harrier jet to fuck on people who try to fuck with their family.
He's never home for his daughter. But she's too busy trying to bone Bill Paxton, a used car salesman, rather than being there for the daughter. How are they good parents? True.
Even bad girls need love, Paul. And also, Paul... but, okay, so there's no weight to the argument that he's working too hard, and that's why they... That's not good parenting, to work too hard. Okay, all
that's
right.
That's my dad.
Oh, shit! Daddy issues. So
here's the thing,
would be
though,
the first
Paul.
To admit it, so...
Here's the thing, though. Like, the guy out of Mr. Incredible and that guy out of True Lies are both out there doing shit that their wives don't know about. Like, that's pretty bad.
I thought that was marriage.
I would agree. That's not the ideal husband, but that doesn't stop him from still being a good dad who children come to. So
getting his lawyer on now. Yeah. What's up?
Yeah. We're talking top 10 movie husbands. Mr. Incredible ain't up there. I will guarantee you that. Look, all right. Well, that's Alice. Did you guys want to mention very quickly any honorable mentions yourselves?
Yeah, I've got a couple that you guys have mentioned. I'll just quickly run through them. Brie Larson's character in Room. Which inspired me to think of Lisa's mum in The Room. And the other one is King Leonidas and Queen Gorgo in 300. I mean, he goes off to war to save the entirety of Greece, and she goes to carry favour from all the other politicians to, get some more defence to stop the Persians from killing everyone. So I thought that was pretty awesome. Oh, as well as Sean's mum and stepfather, Bill Nighy again, and Shaun of the Dead.
She's lovely.
Good stuff.
Yeah, she's awesome. Yeah.
I didn't want to cause any problems, make a scene.
Very British. Very perfect. Perfectly British, I think, in that regard.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Totally.
I think Stacey had two more as well.
Just totally agreed with Bill Nighy in About Time.
Yeah.
And Will Smith's character in The Pursuit of Happiness.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Hmm. Totally see that one.
That's nice work. Too.
Wayne, anything from you?
Oh, my iPad died.
That's right. All right, moving right along, because Wayne can't manage his battery power.
Cannot.
I also had Lee and Evelyn Abbott from A Quiet Place. I had Jim's dad from American Pie. And I'm surprised this one didn't make your list at all. I had, sneaking on my list, foster parents, Aunt Bella and Uncle Heck from Hunt for the Wilder People.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
I mean, they were brilliant, but purely,
To be honest, I think that was actually just an oversight.
It was. Who am I? I'm digging a bigger grave. It was a massive oversight.
We love that movie.
That's great. It's
we
a
just forgot
film.
About it.
Once again, Wayne has not seen it.
I haven't, but I would say you'll put it on the list, man. We're doing a New Zealand person show thing.
A New Zealand person show.
New Zealand person show, man. You know the fucking test is there, so what's up?
What the hell? God damn it, I quit. I'm out.
All right, those are our list. What about your list? We wrap up the show every week with a segment on what you have to say about the topic at hand in a segment we call the Pop 10.
Talk about... Talk about Pop 10.
Kicking off this week's Pop 10 with Dave from the Super Movie Brothers podcast. He just had the one pick, Michael Keaton in Mr. Mom all the way.
Nice one.
That's nice. Either one of us picked. Now, Gidja Von LaRue, good friends to you guys, good friend to you guys as well as to us. She had three. She had Malin from Steel Magnolias, a film I've never seen. Like
I've seen it.
Judging on the picture she has included, Sally Field?
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. Wayne?
I don't know. I get it. Like, there's a lot of Julia Roberts talking about how she would rather have 10 seconds of wonderful than a lifetime of nothing special. That kind of movie. That's what this movie is like.
What's that got to do with Malin?
I'm saying that that's all I remember.
Okay. Have you guys seen Steel Magnolias?
No.
No. God, no.
It's not the type of thing people notice.
Then Gidget backed up with a film what we've all seen. It's Billy's Mom in Gremlins.
Yes, we loved that answer.
Yeah, killing all the gremlins left, right, and centre. And Karen, Andy's mum, in Child's Play.
Sounds like everyone is on my team with the whole what's your favourite movie parent as opposed to are they good parents?
You're on
just
drugs.
Saying!
You're on drugs, Wayne.
Just
and let saying. Me prove how many drugs you're on with the list of the Pop 10. From Sean, from the Stories of Your and Yours podcast, great show. Do check out for some wonderfully rendered fiction. Liam Neeson in Taken. The Incredibles at 2, and the Weasleys, first of many mentions from the feedback.
Who that?
from the Harry Potter series.
Oh, right.
I don't even know who the hell they are.
No, I've never seen a Harry Potter film.
Yeah, what's Harry Potter?
Weird. It's weird that we had two podcasts in contemporary times.
Of movies.
Who've never gotten into the Harry Potter series. I thought for sure you guys would be all over that.
Okay. I saw like three of them.
Chris Yeeney, great friend of the show and a big player on our Facebook listener community, had number three, Gomez and Morticia Adams, mentioned quite a lot from the Adams family.
Not bad.
Yeah. Will Hayes from Definitely Maybe. I don't know that one.
Oh, shit. Yeah, good one. Not bad. Definitely Maybe is a rom-com.
Okay. And lastly, Harry Stamper from Armageddon. Good on you, Chris. Billy, of course, good friend to you guys and to us from the We Watched a Thing podcast. Number three, here you go. Marlon from Finding Nemo.
Yeah.
Good Gil work, Billy. I take back all the shit I said about you.
But not about Topher. Gil and Karen Buckman from Parenthood.
Oh, yeah, cool. Steve Martin, what's up?
I assume that Steve Martin and was, what's her name?
I took Paul to see this movie when we were fucking kids.
Piss shit.
You were fucking kids.
It was Father the Bride. We weren't fucking kids. Sorry.
Father the Bride. Which we will get a mention right now because Billy's number one is George and Nina Banks from Father of the Bride.
I still get to tell the story. I took Paul to see this movie back when we were kids because there was nothing out, right? And he fucking just spent the whole movie shooting daggers into my asshole, man. He was just like, this is fucked. I was laughing my ass off. I thought it was really funny. He's like, this is fucked, this is fucked. So
I would like to disagree, but...
Fuck off. Suck a dick. Another bullshit founder. Completely out of context.
Now, Billy finished up his tweet with, basically, I either want Steve Martin or a fish to be my dad.
Fair enough.
Stephen from the Super Retro Throwback Podcast. Number three, Steve Guttenberg, Ted Danson, and Tom Selleck from Three Men and a Baby.
What up, dog?
George, got your vote.
Yeah. George McFly from Back to the Future.
Really?
Oh, shit.
The flies, after he got cool or before?
Quote, unquote, if you put your mind to it, you can accomplish anything, unquote. I don't know.
I don't know either. I mean, like, he's a bit weedy. He's a weedy little bastard. Yeah. It took going back in time to make him any good.
And this
they didn't do enough for me. Their relationship was outside of parenting. It was more, you know, young kids in love. We didn't really see them do anything with Marty.
Agreed. And lastly, from Risky Business, Mr. Goodson, sometimes you just got to say, what the heck?
What the heck?
That's what he wrote here. I don't know. Was it not what the fuck?
I think in the movie it was what the fuck, or was it what the hell? I'm not sure.
Matt from the Crossover Podcast just had the one. I've never seen it, so maybe you guys can enlighten me. George C. Scott in Angus.
Never seen it either.
No, me neither.
We're all batting zero there. Sorry, Matt. Now, this one was a really great answer, I thought, from Square Peg in Round World. Number three, Betsy Palmer / Pamela Voorhees in Friday the 13th.
Really?
I'm guessing Square Peg in Round World is going for the, you killed my child, so I'm going to kill all of you. That's a good parenting.
Yeah, that'll get going.
Roberto Benigni / Guido Orifice in Life is Beautiful.
Nice. Just like saying Orifice.
It's great. And lastly, here's one I've never seen, but I have heard about this film. Jack Thompson as Harry Mitchell in The Sum of Us.
Good call. Because he was this Aussie dude who was totally fine with his son being gay and then goes out with him to check out shit and then calls himself Henrietta. It's real good.
Yeah. Nice. You guys haven't seen that one?
No.
It's intriguing.
It sounds like too unbelievable to be true, to be honest.
That's cool. Russell Crowe, man. What's up? One of your people.
Russell Crowe's his son. One of your people.
He's yours now. He's yours now. We don't want
him. You hear them.
He lives in your world. You can fucking have him. Mike Margosian is a great friend to the show. Mr. Incredible and Elastigirl and the Incredibles means you probably have powers too, and they can do some cool shit. There you go. True. A little bit along your lines.
There you go.
Number two, Liam Neeson from Taken will get you out of any trouble you may get in. And Gomez and Morticia, number one, Adam's family.
Very popular.
Seem like the coolest parents there are. From Chef Ben Randall from the In the Weeds podcast, the parents from A Quiet Place. There you are.
Swing.
Movie reviews and 20 Qs. Stoic from How to Train Your Dragon. Had a mental blank there for a second. And lastly, Yondu.
Yondu is a good call, man.
He's a real good call.
He
at the same time,
in the second one, which is retro, sort of retconning the first one.
You pick one movie
where
he's
clearly,
Poppins, y'all.
Clearly a prick.
Yeah.
But then
he might have been your father, but he ain't your daddy. Yeah, I mean,
it's a great line, and they really do redo his character very, very well. But you have to ignore the first film to get on board with that one.
Yeah. Exactly. There's entirety of parenting in the first film is that he didn't let his crew eat him. That's it.
Yep.
Which is rule number one, I'm told.
I'm glad to know.
Don't let anyone eat your child, Sam.
Right. Well done. You've taken that one on board. David Powell. top level patron, one of the top level patrons, and great friend of the show, Jill and Rosemary from Stanley Tucci. There you go. And Patricia Clarkson in Easy A.
Yes. I fucking loved that.
That was the one you left out for
Mean Girls. I left it out, but Easy A is a great ass movie.
I can't even say it. Dick Van Dyke from Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Yep.
And lastly, Atticus Finch, Gregory Peck from To Kill a Mockingbird.
There it goes.
Luke Alexander had George and Lorraine McFly. Wayne and Diane Stolitsky. Don't know where that one's from. But I do know where number one's from. Tom and Kate Bueller.
Bueller. Were they good parents or were they enjoyable, convenient parents?
I kind of thought they were neglectful parents. But yeah, anyway.
They were massively neglectful parents.
Yeah. They knew nothing about what was going on in the kid's life.
Sorry, Luke. It's great that Ferris could pull that one over their eyes, but not sure. And lastly, to wrap it all up today, Tara Maholic, good friend to you guys as well as to us. Lucy, Mary Steen, what's her name? From Diane Weiss from Lost Boys.
Oh, yes.
Oh, really?
Mr. Levenstein, there you go, from American Pie. And Jenny, and Al from Better Off Dead.
I haven't seen Better Off Dead.
I haven't. I can't remember these.
I can't remember the parents at all. I'm just going to go with Tara's superior memory in that regard. Thank you so much for that, Tara. Thank you to everybody who gets back to the show. We can't get through all of the feedback we get, but we are blessed to have you all helping us shape our list. Thank you so, so much. And thank you so much to our guests today, Stam and Stacey.
Sam, love Stam.
Stam. Sam is my preferred, like, it's not an affectionate M&M song. Name for Sam's of the world. And Stacey, who's 37 weeks pregnant.
And she's still doing this show.
Still doing this, has back-to-backed it with their show and our show. Stacey, thank you so much. Sam, thank you so much. Both of you are coming on. Where can our listeners find you and check you out before Stacey goes on a little bit of a hiatus, I'm assuming?
Yes, that's correct. We will have a bit of a break when the baby comes. You can find us at where, Stacey Hurley?
Oh, God damn it.
Threw under the bus.
Oh, where, God damn it, is a new podcast platform.
Would you like to press the now famous elevator music?
It's not famous, fuck you.
No, but I mean, look, you guys can find us everywhere. If you look down in the show notes, you can probably see how we spell our show name. If you've got a podcast app, we'll be on there. We're everywhere. I've spread my net far and wide. I've pasted myself everywhere. In an attempt
spread
to catch
your net
viral.
And pasted yourself. Feels very, very close to each other, those two statements.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, you guys can find us everywhere. And yeah, that's it.
Well, it's an absolute pleasure. And please do check out Movie Reviews and 20 Qs if you haven't already. But I reckon because Sam's been here a couple of times, hopefully you already have and you are a listener like I am. All right. Anything you want to shout out of future episodes? Get your 100th episode coming up.
Yes, we have our 100th episode coming up where we have two questions from these wonderful men that we proceeded to answer. One of them was, which character in film would you go gay for? And I actually had to text Paul and ask him what Wayne's character was in Reap. So, bit of a spoiler alert for our future ep, but yeah.
That's good.
And we had these guys on to do Basic Instinct, as I mentioned at the start of the film. It was an absolute blast. Yeah, come over and check these guys out. Yeah, probably talking quite a lot about Sharon Stone, how much we want to bang her. What a surprise. Including Stacey.
But human. All right, Wayne, what are we doing next week then for episode 222?
I don't know.
Of course you fucking don't. Hang on.
My iPad's dead.
Elevated music. Here we go. Well, since Wayne can't remember Dick, we're doing the top 10 suspenseful films. We've done characters for 3 weeks in a row now. Man Crushes, movie Bad Girls, and now top 10 movie parents. We're going back to the films themselves, the most suspenseful, tension-filled, like, wring your asshole out.
Rectum clinchers.
That's it. Maybe that's what we should call it.
Ooh, I wouldn't
top 10 rectum clinchers.
Yeah, that'll be good. That'll be good. Let's do that.
I'm not sure that will play on
it'll be fine.
But all right. That is what's coming up on the show, and you can find us by searching for us on Twitter at The Countdown PC. Send us an email at thecountdownpodcast@gmail.com. We're on, obviously, our Podbean app where we host the show. And check out the link for the Facebook listener community. That is it for episode 221 of the Countdown Movie and TV Reviews podcast.
Thanks again, folks. I don't know about you, Stacey, but I need to pee.
Oh, hell yeah.
She's going right now.
Okay, well, till next time, folks. My name is Wayne.
My name is Paul.
And my name is Sam.
And I'm Stacey.
And this has been The Soundboard. Yes, we got it in there. It was a little late to the piece.
No one gives a fuck, Paul.
Shut. Countdown Bingo demands it.
Oh, God. This is such a long episode. All
right. This is coming from a man with a 2-inch penis. Good night.
See you guys. Thank you.
Wayne, what are we doing next week then for episode 222?
I don't know.
Of course you fucking don't. Hang on.
My iPad's dead.
So. Elevator music, here we go.
Bitch. My iPad's fingered, so you have to tell us.